This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon. Crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo. My cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is In the Conversation. I am Damian Lemon. And as always, on my right hand side, I got Vladimir Camayo is not in the conversation this week. He's out there wheeling and dealing in Hollywood. But on my left hand side, I got
you got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
That's what it is.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, fam?
Oh, man, it's all good. It's all warm outside, feeling like summer and shit.
It's breaking through. It's breaking through. It's turning the corner.
You know what I'm saying? It's that, what they call it, reckless eyeball season.
Oh,
again.
Absolutely. I heard you and G. Lou talking about that. Y'all was getting loose, too.
Was getting loose?
Yeah, I was like, okay.
You know, we had to represent the conversation, man. You know what I'm saying? The people, as you told me before we started this podcast journey, because I didn't know what it was all about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You told me the people want transparency.
Yeah. You got to keep it transparent.
So I worked my way into that space.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? As, you know, our long-time listeners know, you know what I'm saying? I might have started off a little slow.
Absolutely. I mean, there's people out there saying, you know, I like that Mr. Muhammad has opened up a bit more. You know what I mean? So Cats is on you, on your journey with you.
No doubt.
And I think I think it's the sign of a good podcast when you leave the tape and you say, "Oh shit, I might have said the wrong thing.
I did too much."
Yeah, man. It's summertime. We out here sipping the new Ciroc Summer Colada.
Yeah, man. You done brought this puffy juice in here.
I mean, come on now. I had to do it because
why you had to do it?
I feel like Puff might not put out a lot of music as much anymore, but he is killing it. He promotes these new Ciroc's like an album.
No doubt.
I don't really have the taste for Ciroc until I see it on my timeline in the newfangled flavor or bottle or whatever, you know. And the latest one was the Summer Colada with the white bottle with the gold, supposedly limited edition, you know.
Where you get it?
I got it at the liquor store.
Oh, at the store.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, what they're saying is it's going to be a one-off.
Oh, wow.
It's not going to be like the mangoes and all of that. I mean, I've been saying for a while, I think Ciroc is high, you know, premium quarter waters. But, you know, because these flavors, mango, apple, pineapple.
And you got to get the people what they want, man.
Got to get the people what they want.
If they respond, and he probably got a, you know, research group, you know what I'm saying, sure. Studying what they want.
Yeah, shit tastes like nail laters.
You know what I'm saying? Hey.
This is good, though. I'm fucking with the Summer Colada.
You know this is right on. Oh, I like it. You know, it's smooth. Like you say, it's like a pineapple nail later.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's apropos, you know what I'm saying, the day after, you know, Puff stunning on them at the Met Gala.
Yeah. Hit the relax. The lay down on the step like he was on a Chase lounge.
Yeah. And there, you know, it's funny because everybody, like, you know, I need a Diddy. I need somebody like Diddy in my life that'll lay back and let me shine.
Hilarious.
But if you look at all the photographers,
it was about Diddy.
They were shooting him.
Yeah, come on.
Look at their face. Look at the photographer's face. They all pointed towards him. Cassie out there posing.
Yeah. Did he steal her shine consciously?
That's what he do.
That's what he do.
What the fuck you
mean?
You
got to be able to shine like Big if you really want to win.
Your talent has to stand out so hard.
Yeah, man, it's tough.
Other than that, he gonna be dancing in the video.
Check your own video. You'll always be number two.
No. Who said that?
That was Jay heating Mace up back in the day. Remember that? Check your own video. You'll always be number two.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and then, you know, they dropped the Bad Boy documentary at Tribeca this week.
Yeah, that looked like that's a moment.
Yeah. Y'all haven't seen it. You know what I'm saying? I heard a couple of little commentary on it, but I haven't seen it.
What's the commentary? What's it feeling like?
I can't really give third-party commentary without having viewed the product myself. You know what I'm saying?
So it must be of the negative.
No, it's not of the negative. It's just not.
I heard it was crazy.
No. This is just what happened was I heard it was good. I heard it was visually, you know what I'm saying, good as far as the look and the style of the look. I also, you know what I'm saying, the conversation that we had was that, you know, they miss, you know what I'm saying, the details of what Puff meant to the culture. You know what I'm saying? Like what he brought to the table. Like for me, you know, we talked about it here, you know what I'm saying? He just set up, he broke open so many doors for young black men to come in the game.
Young and getting it.
You know what I'm saying? That, you know, that's in, from my perspective, it's hard to overlook. It's hard to watch something that don't really give props to the you know, the ripple and the waves that he made that right. just that let us be us and come into a company and they respect who you are.
The audacity.
Because they want that. They want to understand who you are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, you know what I'm saying? They feel like they got it. You know what I'm saying? We understand. We could, anybody could do this job. Yeah. You know? But somebody like Puff, he came through and just shook the whole shit up to where every company needed a young black dude in there. You know what I'm saying? So it's a long list of little things that I say, you know what I'm saying, are all relative to Puff being who he was.
So is this coming out to the theaters, or is it going to do like the festival circuit for a while, or you know the release time for the,
I don't
for
know.
The people?
I think from what I understand, it's a Apple Music documentary, so it might come to the iTunes.
Oh, all right.
You know what I'm saying?
Cool.
So I'm not sure. I wasn't on the program or on the production.
I didn't know what you was privy to.
But you know what I'm saying? From what I understand, I saw it was like Apple Music Presents. So I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they go ahead and jumping on in.
That's Apple Music, it says.
Okay, cool.
That's what it's gonna
got
be
a
like
release that. Date, anything like that, or no?
June 25th.
Oh, okay, cool.
That June 25th.
June
25th.
That what did I say? June 25th.
I don't know. You're already on that puppy juice.
Yeah, maybe it's crazy. yo, that Miles Cole. I mean Miles Cole. I said I'm drunk. I ain't even been drinking. That John Coltrane documentary has already come out. I was about to check it out this weekend, but I got caught up. But I thought it was coming up, but I see it's in the streets. So FYI, if anybody was listening and wanted to go see it,
I heard that was good.
IFC Theater. I haven't seen it yet. I want to check it out.
And not even just from the people working on it. I heard it was good from other people who've seen it.
I like Coltrane. Coltrane's probably, he might be my favorite jazz musician. He's the... yeah, for whatever, I like his material the most. I've listened to most of his material. I like how his horn sounds more than Miles's. Like typically, I don't like a whole lot of like the horn coming through the speaker. To me, it feels like chalkboard, that. Like it fucks with me. I can't really. I could do a drum, but a horn is sometimes.
Miles was more disruptive with his shit. He came and motherfucker. This is what the fuck I'm doing.
This shit coming through like lightning.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then Coltrane got a little bit more like
flavor. Yeah, he smoothed it out a little bit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He
smoothed it out, not flavor, but it's definitely a little bit more. A little bit more low end on it too.
Right, yeah. So, you know. Yeah. What Coltrane was playing what though? Sax, right?
Yeah.
Coltrane's playing sax and Miles is playing the trumpet.
Right.
So, you know.
I mean, obviously there's something
you might not like the trumpet.
I probably don't like the trumpet. I probably
old trumpet hating ass.
Maybe. That shit, it just sound wild. It's a little too, as you said, disruptive.
Yeah, but, you know, Miles was disruptive by design. He was just came to be that way.
Yeah. Coltrane got cool saxophone shit that don't sound pervy. You know, because the saxophone took a turn towards the
Cinemax. That's smooth jazz era.
Yeah.
That's when, you know what I'm saying, you know, the mother, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
came through. You know what I'm saying?
What you saying?
You know what I'm saying? You know, that's second phase. That's the watered down phase of jazz. That wasn't the authentic jazz. The
diffusion.
Diffusion jazz. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Your bro. Jazz.
Hilarious, man.
Gave it that perv appeal, you say?
It was very, you know, when you hear certain saxophones, so it's very, skin of mass. Right.
You know, bust it wide open.
to a sax riff.
You love me.
Oh, man. Yo, how was that, your gym situation? Your 6 a.m.
Yes, sir.
How was that?
Oh, man. I've been hyped ever since, man.
First of all, I stepped out the room, but I caught it on the podcast. I didn't realize you were going to a barefoot gym.
Well, this particular holistic
that's a lot of
motion
holism.
Movement. situation, this new age shit.
Foot sweat.
Yeah, it's barefoot. It's barefoot.
So, wait. Are you looked down upon if you got a sole, if you got a sneaker on?
No, you
got
to get on the mat. It's like a big-ass mat. And nah,
for the people that want to keep a...
No, it's barefoot. All barefoot. Everybody barefoot.
So you was barefoot?
Yeah, everybody barefoot.
Oh, I thought you said you wasn't. I thought you was going to wear a sneaker at the barefoot show.
Well, I was going to wear a sneaker, but then I got there. It's a full barefoot scenario.
A communal barefoot scenario.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like going to the mosque.
Oh, I got it. But don't be that much foot sweat in the mosque. I mean, depending on how you would know better than that one.
a lot more feet at the mosque, okay. You know.
Okay, so keep going. How was it?
So, no, it was great, man. You know what I'm saying? I say that now in retrospect. But at the time when we first started, you know what I'm saying, we get into the little warm-up, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, all right, I got this. Okay, that's what this is? Yeah. All right, I got this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? 15 minutes in the warm up, I'm like, well, goddamn. When the workout going to happen?
Still warming up?
Is this the warm up, or did we do a smooth transition?
Right.
So then we moved into another room and did like more like some flex motion shit.
So y'all stopped and went to another room?
Yeah, we stopped, you know what I'm saying? Then you take a little break, maybe to walk to the other room. Mm-hmm. And then you started doing like some body balance type shit. You know what I mean? Where you know, hands over here and you kick your leg. You know what I'm saying? Some shit that your body ain't used to doing and shit. So I was
like
kind of
yoga type shit?
Not yoga. It was almost like it's just some resistance shit that, you know, some real exercises, but it's just using your body weight. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'm like, well, goddamn. Woo. Yeah. All right, I got through that. I'm good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Shit, I could do this shit.
Then what's the makeup looking and demo wise? Who's in there with you?
Well, the 6 o'clock class was kind of short. So it was like not that many people. So it was a burly white boy who looked like a lumberjack.
Okay.
Like a hipster lumberjack.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Young brawny.
Little gray beard. You know what I'm saying? Looking like he'd been chopping wood to put in his restaurant and shit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, you had a white executive type of girl, like, you know, probably working some cool type of executive position that travel a lot.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And then like a black girl, you know what I'm saying, who probably got a nice little job somewhere. Uh-huh. And then me.
Oh, so that was very intimate.
You know what I'm saying? Very intimate.
Did y'all speak to each other beforehand? Or
not before. Okay. Before everybody just head nods. It's early in the motherfucking morning. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So I'm there first. I'm the freshest. I'm dressed fresh to death. You know what I'm saying? I got my new technology. Brand new technology. Techno. Got my techno workout gear on and shit.
What's everybody else fucking with?
They got on their shit. You know what I'm saying?
Regular shit or some tech shit too?
They teched up too. Okay. You know what I mean? Except for the burly white boy. The burly white boy had on his motherfucking tights.
Cut off ass jean
shorts. He had on the, you know what I'm saying, the gym tights. But, you know, I had shorts over my tights. they just out there with the tights.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Familiar.
Just all out. You know what I mean?
Like, all right. Got the feet out, the whole shit.
Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got down. So we get to the main workout, you know what I'm saying? Which is like, you know, like some pull up shit with the, you know, the little gymnastics circles and shit.
Yeah.
You just lean down close to the floor and then you pull up. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what they call that. Some type of row.
Some type of row.
Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Then you get up from that. Then you do the kettlebell, little shit, 5 times. Then you do push-ups. Uh-huh. Then you get up from the push-ups, go do some dips. Mm-hmm. And then you do the motherfucking kettlebell, you know what I'm saying? 2 kettlebells up, stepping up on the shit.
Right.
And then you start all over again.
That's a circuit.
So, you know, so the first time I'm like, okay, cool.
And y'all all got your own set of kettlebells.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Then he gave me his little punk ass kettlebell because I was new. Uh-huh. So I'm looking at my shit. I'm looking at the girl shit. Like, why my shit a little smaller than theirs? Uh-huh. God damn, my man. I know I'm new, but you ain't gotta punk me.
Was it the right choice?
After motherfucking 2 reps.
Yeah.
So, you know, the first rep, I'm good. Like, okay, I could do this. Uh-huh. I'm keeping up with everybody. I'm doing all the shit.
Okay.
Second rep, I'm like, okay, I feel it. You know what I'm saying? Third rep, yeah. Uh-huh. I'm dying on the inside. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? It's killing me.
Are the other three, are they just moving through
it? I ain't even
it?
Looking at okay. their ass. I okay. can't look. I'm worried about my motherfucking self.
Okay.
I'm looking
it's
at
getting,
I'm looking at
spotty.
This, I'm looking at this motherfucking punk ass kettlebell like, God damn, I got to do this shit again.
You got one more set to go, too, right?
But then, you know, well, it was based on time. So I was on the third one at this time.
Okay.
And then the fourth one, I get to the fourth one, I get off my little dips and look at them damn pull-up row shits. Mm-hmm. I'm like, good God, damn.
Yeah.
So I'm walking slow back to the shit. And then I get through it, you know what I'm saying? Get down, do my dips and shit. And then I'm waiting on this motherfucker to call the time because he already said, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
He want to be like, blow the whistle.
Like 30 more seconds.
Come on.
Like 30
blow
more seconds.
Blow the whistle.
I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, this is the longest 30 seconds I ever motherfucking experienced in my life, nigga. When you gonna fucking call
somebody,
this shit?
Play.
Then he was like, all right, 5 more seconds. I'm like, good God almighty. And then shit, it was over.
And you got everything done?
Yeah, I got it all done.
Oh,
all
right, cool.
I got it all done. And then, you know, after it was over, you know what I'm saying? Shit, I'm feeling all energetic and spree. I'm bouncing down the street like, boop, boop, boop. Good morning.
Right.
All right, good morning.
Right. He was high.
I was good. You know what I'm saying? Then I went to Juices for Life.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out Angela Lee,
mm-hmm.
DJ Envy.
Okay.
You know what I'm
Have you seen him in there yet?
Nah, I seen pictures of them in there, but I missed that shit.
Like
I'm like,
see him.
Like, God damn. When 50 Cent was in, you know what I'm saying, on the block.
Right.
So they, you know, they did a couple of events in there, but I missed that shit.
Okay.
But I went over there, Juices for Life, got
what
me,
you, get?
You know what I'm saying, a little protein situation.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know the name of my shit I got.
But it wasn't the future. It was some
nah,
more.
It wasn't the future. I had to get some real shit.
Well, you work out. You want to maintain the balance. You don't get no bullshit for at least
four
hours.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that shit was cool, man.
So what's up? You going back? Is you
down?
Going
back tomorrow, 6 o'clock.
Oh, so it's once a week?
Well, it was once a week for me.
Oh, okay. 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 o'clock, man. That shit was good. 6 o'clock was good because it don't interfere with nothing in your day.
Except your sleep.
Ain't nobody fucking with you at 6 o'clock.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody asking for no work. Ain't nobody doing shit.
That's what's
so
up.
So you get that, you get done. You know what I'm saying? By the time you hit Juices for Life, shit, now the phone ringing, but you good. I was answering the phone like, hey, what's happening? Yeah, we can do that. Let's get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's always good.
I was getting money.
That's always good. Motherfucker, that sound like they ready to conquer the day. It's two different, because you could call somebody and feel like the day conquered them, and it's only 10 a.m.
Hello?
Hey, yo, you all right? No, I'm fine. You sleeping?
Nah.
What's up?
I'm good. What's happening?
Nah, what you talking about?
Nah, man, I was on that
you
shit.
Was, hello?
Hey.
Good morning.
Welcome to Movie Vogue.
Exactly. Oh, shit,
yeah,
man.
That shit was dope, man. I'm on that shit now. I even jogged yesterday. I ain't jogged ever in life.
Oh, shit.
Since,
I fought his
since
job.
Basketball practice.
When you jog to?
I jogged to the end of the block.
Okay.
And then I was like, this shit ain't easy. And then I walked.
It also felt a little weird out there jogging.
But see, I went late.
Okay.
I tried to go late, but it was still people coming home from work.
You tried to go late because you wanted to go on the low?
I wanted to go on the absolute low.
You
I wanted to be out
there.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be in the motherfucking darkness by myself.
Wind up with somebody Instagram live.
Yo, look at old Muhammad struggling. Look at him.
Oh,
and so,
shit.
So, you know, I hit it. You know what I'm saying? And I got, you know, once I got my little first little walk and then I hit it again.
Right.
I was like, okay, I'm good now. I could push through this shit. So I went around. I went about 4 or 5 blocks.
Oh, all right.
And then came back and then came down my stretch, you know what I'm saying? And shit, you know, even though it was a little tough because I ain't ran in, you know what I'm saying?
In a while.
That shit felt all right, though.
It felt like you was back.
I was like, okay, shit, I feel all right.
I can, you know what
I'm, I could do this shit, man. Yeah. I'm going to run again tonight.
All right, shit.
You know what I'm saying?
All right.
You know, once your body asking for it, you know what I'm saying? You try to oblige if you can.
Some night running.
Yeah, you only gonna catch me running.
Not in the daytime.
Running is for motherfuckers who know how to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know how I look running. I ain't never seen myself run.
Nah, you know what you should do though, because I might do it again. I haven't done it before actually. Get on that the treadmill they got where they show how you run, you know what I mean? Like they break down your shit. You go to like And there is a Modell's. I thought that shit was closed.
That's I went there and got my shit.
It might be at that Modell's, but I know for sure down like Paragon,
mm-hmm.
downtown, they got one of them treadmills. and they shit goes to a computer printout, be like, okay, you run this way, da da da, that's type of shoe you need, all of that shit.
Oh, okay.
Something
okay.
to know.
Well, you know.
Get your run FICO.
Yeah, I pulled out some old ass Air Max and shit.
Oh shit.
I had never worn.
Oh, all right.
You know what I'm saying? They back in the day joints. You know what I'm saying? Probably 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, but I ain't never worn.
Some dead stock pieces?
Yeah, I guess. You know
bubble still work?
Yeah, bubble was still good. I thought the sole might have fell off, but nah, it was good.
Oh, all
right. I put them on and ran right through it. I'm like, okay, shit. That's what it is.
That's what's up. Oh, shit. I like this Diddy shit. It was pretty good. Summer Collada was all right. Not mad.
Man, Diddy been doing it for the culture, man, since 90.
It's been a long, 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 long
you know
time.
Diddy been doing it for the culture, man. He deserve it, man.
Yeah.
You know, man, he done threw a bunch of people under the bus and, you know what I'm saying, had them running out to the motherfucking pasture. But other than that.
That was the worst toast ever.
he been doing it. We was talking about motherfucking, who was talking about? We was saying, where Craig Mack at?
Oh.
And then my wife looked up Craig Mack and said he was in a cult in South Carolina.
Oh. What's the name of the cult?
I forget, man. You had to Google it. But I'm like, damn, Craig Mack went to a cult.
Right.
Mace went to the church. Loon became Muslim. Shine became Jewish.
Right.
Israelitish.
Right.
Or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Who else? What else happened?
I don't know. Big died.
Big got killed.
Faith still singing. Lil' Kim got plastic.
Right. Black Rob. What happened to Black Rob?
Black Rob.
Yeah, stroke. That was bad.
Yeah, he had stroke and went to jail. Loon went to jail.
G-Dep turned himself in.
G-Dep just had some type of spiritual awakening and turned himself in. I don't know what be going on, man, but, you know.
That shit is tough.
He did it for the culture.
Shit is tough. Well, look, the Summer Collada's good. That shit is all right.
The music good, you know what I'm saying? I ain't tripping at all. Puff did it, man. I ain't gonna bad my Puff. I'm just saying.
I'm saying it sound like it.
No, I'm just saying. This might not even be his problem. He's just people that was affiliated that just went off to the way.
It's tough. It's tough. Fuck it. They say working with that motherfucker, it's like working with a physical trainer. Like this motherfucker be working. There's people that they can't be breaking down.
Yeah, he work your ass.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Can't stop, won't stop.
Man, that's crazy shit.
You could work for Puff?
Nah, not at this point in my life. Nah. We could work together, though. We could partner up. But I don't know. This motherfucker sound like he got that treadmill shit. You know what I mean? He sound like he called you way earlier than you used to be a call.
Yeah.
What's up, Playboy?
Hey, Playboy, Playboy.
Hey, man.
It's 3:30. We gotta be at Tita Burrow at 5, man. We going to motherfucking such and such for a week.
I know you ain't sleep.
For a week. Well, what about my baby?
That's the last
shit. Hey. I don't know.
I know you ain't sleep. Your baby will understand.
You know what I'm saying?
How many things you think hear that? Your baby will understand.
You know what I'm saying? When you bring that money home, your baby will understand, son.
Your baby ain't going to remember you wasn't there anyway. How old is your baby? Oh, yeah, your baby ain't going to remember that shit. You know what I'm saying? Take some photos.
You know what I'm saying? Get it now.
You know what I mean? Go get this.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. Nobody love their baby more than DJ Khaled love Assad, boy. Is he up for the Black Fathers of the Year Award?
Is he black?
That's what the asterisk is. I mean, how progressive are you? Khaled is not. What is Khaled?
The Brown Father of the Year.
Hey, Brown Fathers.
You know what I'm saying? Brown Fathers unite.
So it's a different. It's a different division.
You know, Khaled ain't black.
A different division. I don't know. I don't know what's black.
That's
anymore.
Like French Montana for black father. No,
French Montana can't be black.
No, he brown. He's brown.
But he from Africa.
But he from Morocco.
That's Africa.
But he from the north side. It can go both ways on the north side.
No. Damn.
Hey, even in Africa, even in South Africa, you know what I'm saying? You got blacks, coloreds,
right,
and whites.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Now, Charlize Theron, she's white South African. But French Montana, I feel like
it's brown. He brown. He brown. Like we got a brotherhood, but he's a brown brother.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Who got Black Fathers of the Year? Is it what's my man, LeVar Bell? And did you follow that whole shit?
Yeah, I've been watching.
Did you follow that? He's up there.
He out there. Yeah, he representing for his clan.
He is Muhammad Ali in it.
You know what I'm saying? People be mad at him. You know what I'm saying? But for me, you know what I'm saying? I don't follow high school basketball like that, per se.
He's college. He's in college.
He's in college now, and it's, you know what I'm saying? He just finished his first year. But the other two are still in high school. Mm-hmm. So I don't really follow it all that tough like that. But, shit, without his daddy Big Mouth, I wouldn't know nothing about none of them.
True indeed. I still don't know enough about him. So, I mean,
you know what I'm saying? It's just like the other kid who they saying better than him, who I can't even remember his name.
Yeah, see?
You know what I'm saying? And who was supposed to be better than him? You know
I don't even know why we're going this deep into sports. Because I don't have much.
We ain't deep into sports, but don't discount our conversation because we're having it.
Well, no, I'm not discounting it, but what I'm saying is I'm recognizing that we're not going to go much further. Because you were saying, look, hey, I don't know much about this cat, and then I heard this other guy is better than the guy, but I don't know that guy's name.
But the people listening, they know who the fuck I'm talking about. It's somebody out there know who the fuck I'm talking about. Well, that other cat who's supposed to be better than the ball boy.
All right. The people who listen and know we don't really go this far into sports anyway. They're like, yo, these motherfuckers is really, they going forward. I'll say this last thing.
This was a sports era, right? It's the playoffs. I'm in now.
It's the drama time. But
I'm in now.
And it's the draft. I catch all the highlight shit. There's some cat, Tekashi or something, Tack, at Tack on Twitter. He got drafted by the Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he had told his grandmother that he was going to get drafted. He was like, yo, watch, I'm going to get drafted, blah, blah, blah. She died immediately after he told her. So he comes to the draft with like a huge poster framed of his grandmother. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And was hyped like, yeah, I told y'all, mother. He like stole the show. I told you.
Right.
I ain't no fucking. And he said fucking or some
fuck.
Shit.
Talking about, I gonna got fined before I even got my contract.
Right. But they reversed the fine or whatever. But that's it. Again, like, I don't have much more.
I also know.
That's all I know.
I know Dalvin Cook didn't get drafted in the first round, which was a disgrace to the Miami race.
Man, I thought Dalvin Cook was Dalvin from Jodeci. See, that's how all the way. Yeah, no what bad. You mean? He didn't get drafted? He went to
UM? He was like the baddest running back in fucking college football.
From where? UM?
From FSU.
And he went to, he's from Miami?
He's from Miami.
And nobody picked him up?
They picked him up in the second round real deep, Minnesota. Man, but they drug him because before the draft, a couple days before the draft, somebody was out there spreading, you know what I'm saying, you know, larceny on his name, saying, you know what I'm saying, he got these red flags, blah, blah, blah. And then, it's the draft, you know what I'm saying? Every year they drop somebody to the motherfucking second round to pay him less and get a better fucking deal on him. I think right. This shit is a scam and a conspiracy.
It could be.
You know what I'm saying? Because he the baddest motherfucking running back on that was on the board.
But I did hear, and I could be wrong, but the listeners will let us know. I've heard that running backs aren't as, they're not as sought after as before because the game changed with all the concussions and shit like that. They don't really, a lot of people don't run their running backs like they used to.
Right.
So now it's going to like receivers and quarterbacks and defensive people. Running backs aren't like.
Yeah, but that still ain't no excuse not to draft Dalvin Cook in the first round.
Hey.
You know what I mean?
I mean, that's.
They just wanted the motherfucking deal and a discount.
It could have been. I mean, shit.
You know, but then you ain't got no real choice in that matter. You know what I'm saying? You're just a motherfucker trying to get to the pros.
Yeah, you ain't had no choice. I mean, shit. At this point, it's not up to you at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah, go. Hopefully this call come in. That's some shit.
That's fucked up, but, you know, he good. He's still going to make, you know what I'm saying, a few million this year. Ain't nothing to it. He'll get it back on the second contract.
I hope so. I don't really.
Y'all don't really give a fuck.
Nah, absolutely. So, we've been talking about party sports people, 3 minutes longer than we should have. I don't know Dalvin at all. But shout out to that man. I know you're going to be all right. I know you're going to be fine. I know you're new, singer.
You ain't shit.
Nah, I'm saying niggas all right. He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. Shout out to that man. Yo, do you watch Everyday Struggle with Joe Budden and DJ Academics?
I don't really like Joe Budden. And I know that sounds real haterish, you know what I'm saying? But
nah, I don't think
I didn't like his new persona outside of rap. So I just don't. I stopped fucking with him.
What's the persona outside?
Just like when, you know, not even before, even before Love and Hip, just when he's just beefing with his girls on Twitter and just, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Just look like, you know what I'm saying? Just like a suck ass nigga on that shit like that.
Yeah,
that's a perception. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know him.
Absolutely,
you know what I'm saying? He probably cool as fuck, but you know what I'm saying?
Who knows?
But he be doing sucker shit on the Twitters and shit. I don't know what he do no more. But back in the day, when he was with Tahiri and all that shit, there was a lot of sucker shit going on. So I stopped fucking with him. That just ruined my whole little, like, you know what I'm saying?
That's what Twitter fucked up a lot of shit for certain rappers. You start to see too much of their personality. Like, it's cool when it's just within the bars.
Right.
He's like, all right, I can dig this.
All right, yeah, he dropped one line. You know, man.
Right, it was questionable.
It's cool.
But after a while.
But when you're on the Twitter really typing that shit out.
Looking at the timeline, you're like,
with no A&R and no none of that shit.
Anyway, I was going to tell you, they got a show. It's like a First Take for hip hop. DJ Academics is kind of a, I don't even know if he's really known for DJing. I just know him for deadass. I really don't. A lot of these DJs you don't know for DJing no more. Motherfuckers say DJ Mustard, you don't know. I mean, he's a producer.
Right. Not,
DJ
right,
Esco.
Right,
I'm
right,
sure
right.
they DJ, but I don't know him for that.
Right, right, right.
So, but DJ Academics' whole shit is, he used to do these videos, and I wouldn't even all the way watch them because I'm not the biggest fan of the recap video. The recap video always come up when you're looking for the real video. You know what I mean? When the real video getting scrubbed from the internet and you trying to find us all these, here's what I think.
Right.
So
right.
he like started killing the game in that shit, like all types of insight and shit, blah, 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 blah. So he built some traction. Mm-hmm. And then Joe Budden, he has a podcast where he talks about hip hop, but then his slant is, you know, he's a quote unquote retired rapper. So it's kind of like
who?
Joe Budden.
That's what he said. He a retired
he
rapper.
He calls himself retired. Okay. You know. So
that's cool.
He's kind of like one of these cats that's on like Inside the NBA. You know what I mean? Like he's playing like that.
Right.
And it becomes like the First Take for hip hop. And it's interesting. It's interesting because to your point, he's become very polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is interesting because he's made a transition to where now he's behind the mic, not as a rapper, but as media, I guess, or as a commentator.
Right.
You know what I mean?
A pundit.
Absolutely, a pundit. More so than anybody else. I mean, I've seen like Nori's kind of doing media, but he's still, I'm a rapper.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm still, it feels like, it's kind of like I'm still going to defer to the rap culture. To the, you know what I mean? To the brotherhood or whatever, to the community. Whereas Joe is like, this is why this shit is trash. This motherfucker's whack. Da 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 da. Like killing motherfuckers.
Right. He's Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith in this. So they had, they've never had any artists on there, but he's been shitting on a lot of y'all. So he's coming in on, going in on Yachty. So they had little Yachty up there today for the first time, whatever. And then, you know, it was pretty interesting. I've always felt like with Yachty, I'm not the biggest fan of his music. It's not my type of thing. It's a little too sing-songy. Mm-hmm. I understand. It's more earworm shit. I could dig it. You know what I mean? I'm sure if you got kids, that shit is, you know what I mean? I get the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was struck by from the door, is got a personality. You know what I mean? Like a lot of these cats, these new rappers that they might not make shit for me.
Right.
I appreciate the business or I appreciate the personality. Like when I watch, like I see a Vince Staples, I might not listen to his albums all the time. He's not whack, but I don't listen to his albums like that. But I think Vince Staples, if he was a comedian, that nigga would be killing because he's funny as shit. He got a hell of a point of view, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Anyway.
So Lil Yachty,
talk to me.
Oh,
I was saying all of that to say, well, it's fucked up because you haven't seen the show, but you see shit like First Take or whatever.
Yeah, but just tell me.
It's one of these shows that kind of celebrates the hot take, or the point of view.
All right, right.
Hip hop has always been fueled by debate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But when it goes public, then it could straddle that line of, is that hate or is that just debate? You know what I mean? Barbershop talk is barbershop talk when it's in the barbershop, but then when it's in front of the people,
right?
Now it becomes an attack.
Right.
So it was just interesting. I was you haven't seen the shit, so we can't.
No,
really
I haven't seen it, but
chop
you know,
it up about that.
You know, I could chop up shit.
What do you think about this whole hot take culture? Do you feel like there's any value in the hot take? Do you feel
if it's going on, then it's obviously some value there. You know what I'm saying? If people are doing it. And people are talking it, but you know what I'm saying? Explain the hot take for the people.
Chris, what's the, what is the definition? I would say the hot take is just basically, I don't want to say inflammatory, but it's like an immediate summary or not deduction or just
saying some shit for the shock value, or just for the, because you know it's going to spark some type of.
Yeah, it stirs the pot. Reaction. Something to stir the pot, I guess.
There we go. So here's when you type in hot take, the definition that comes up is a piece of commentary typically produced quickly in response to a recent event whose primary purpose is to attract attention.
Right.
And in this era.
We're in the social media era.
We're in the social media era.
And the fucking social media is a beast that needs to be fed every day.
Right.
It wakes up hungry as fuck. Uh-huh. And then there's going to be people that give it food, which mm-hmm. is a lot of time is the hot take or the somebody who fucked up or, you know what I'm saying, who produced a bad commercial or, you know what I'm saying, some celebrity that did this. And all day it's just hot takes. Like, trending topics is the hot take of the moment. You know what right. I mean? Right. So, yes, it's relevant to have these hot takes in the space because you have people on a 24-hour cycle just looking to devour content, mm-hmm. you know, looking for something, mm-hmm. waiting for something, can't wait for shit to happen. And then there's people that's giving it to them. You know what I'm saying? It's like where motherfucking Kris Jenner, she's motherfucker mastermind of giving that motherfucking machine something to talk about, you know?
And she gives them content.
Keeping them with content. Right. You know what I'm saying? And if you can keep yourself in that content, then you will be in the conversation. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely relevant and important. It's just, you know, how do you maintain a balance between hot take
and caricature
and real shit that we want to talk about.
And real dialogue.
Real dialogue instead of being prompted by inflammatory shit that you just always back and forth, you know what I'm saying? Kermit the Frog on the typewriter shit all day.
I guess that's the new bait and switch, 1-2 punch, right? You know how there was this shit, like, you know how they say there was this whole phenomenon, negging or whatever, where you say some fucked up shit to somebody, mm-hmm. right? Just to get their attention. And then once you got their attention based off of the fucked up shit you said, now you had a conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, let me say some wild shit. And then, whoa. Let's have this conversation.
Right. But that's how media go, though, man. It's been that way, though. It's been that way for a long time.
Not forever.
They had more controls over it.
I feel like it's a little bit more salacious now. And it's almost like you could, if you're not careful... Well, I guess you just, not even if you're not careful, there's a lot of backpedaling that comes with that hot take shit, too. Right, because right, that's right. the thing. You galvanize these people. Oh, LeBron is trash, like Skip Bayless, or Yachty is garbage or whatever. And then when they there, I don't want to say it. You know, you kind of remind me of me. It's like, wait a minute now. Hold on. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because you want the conversation.
You don't
want
to get punched in the nose.
Well, not even that. No. Not even that, which could always happen, too. But just... I guess you're talking out of both sides of your mouth.
Yeah, but you running a business and a media company and you want views, you want attention, you want people to come back. So you're saying what you have to say to get these people to come back. You know what I'm saying?
You ever had a take that was too hot and you're like, shit.
In public?
Yeah, in public or Twitter. You ever had a take you like, shit. It don't even have to be nothing inflammatory. It could just be some shit. Because, I mean, motherfuckers jump out the window so definitively now. And then you be like, a couple days later, you be like, you know what? I don't really feel that way no more.
I'm sure I have. I just can't think
of that in particular.
I can't recall any time. I remember Cassie tried to drag me on the internet one time.
What? Nah, this is new shit. I never heard this.
I used to be on the Lower East Side. You know what I'm saying? Working out the whole food, just trapping all, you know what I'm saying,
right.
all over in that area. And I think she lived in the building that was behind Whole Food.
Okay.
And so one day I was coming out going down the world.
Right.
And I seen her coming. She was walking in front of me.
Right.
About to go in the building. And I had snapped this shot and I wrote on Twitter, you know what I'm saying. I said some shit about, like, you know, all black with the back out. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't even nothing silly. It was just like a description of what it was. Seeing Cassie on Lower East Side, whatever. Okay. And then she responded.
I
really don't remember exactly what she said.
What was the gist?
The gist was that I was trying to drag her. I don't know why she thought I was trying to drag her. I just said,
so she got defensive.
She got defensive than a motherfucker. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
What were you talking about, all black with the back out?
Because she had on a shirt that was backed out. She had on all black, uh-huh. and her back was out.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was just a description of the picture that it took. You know, I get poetic sometimes.
Right. You do get a little poetic.
I get a little poetic or whatever. Yeah. I guess she didn't take too kindly of my poetry. So she was basically like, you know what I'm saying, motherfucker, I'll be trying. I don't know if she was somewhere where she wasn't supposed to be. I don't know right. what the fuck was going on. But I was like, hey, I'm just describing the picture. I saw
you. And you tagged her.
Yeah. I might have. I probably tagged her.
Did you feel any way about taking a photo of her from behind? She's a woman. Y'all don't know each other. And then you put it on the internet.
To see, this was the beginning of the Twitter era. This is like okay. 2007. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Moment. So it's a teachable moment. You don't know. You just out in the world like, right. Oh, that's Cassie. Snap, snap.
Right.
And see, before, I took a couple of snaps before she was, you know what I'm saying? It was just a back. It was like, you know, from the side, but that shit didn't look right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I posted the one that was just from the back. You know what I'm saying? And, you know. Again, she called me out. I said some slick shit back about, you know what I'm saying? Hey, I was just, you know what I'm saying?
You went in? No, I didn't pull a Joe Button, did you?
No. It was really like a, you know what I'm saying? Hey, it wasn't meant to be the way you took it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was just, I seen you had on the all black. I seen you in the Lower East Side. Right. I had shot you out.
Right.
And then it was just you like, oh, you know what I mean? One of them kind of shits.
Yeah.
But you know, hey.
Did it get traction? How much traction?
No, it didn't get no much traction. Okay. It didn't get no much traction.
Put
no.
that fire out immediately.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I wasn't that big of a deal to be getting that kind of traction.
Sometimes you know.
And then Cassie probably wasn't either. But.
Seems like you get it. Ah, shit. Damn. All right. Ah, shit.
It wasn't no big deal, it's all man. That's all I'm saying.
Hilarious. Oh, shit, man. What else is going on, dude? Man, I don't know. Chris. We got Chris in the building. Chris just came back from the Black Smithsonian. Woke than a motherfucker. Chris, tell us about your account.
Well, I had a great time, first of all, and I thank you for... You set me up with Cameron, who works the museum, who got you into the museum.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Cam.
I sit here, I listen to you talk about it, and I was like, oh, I should go to the museum. And then I waited 2 weeks, and I was like, I got to get tickets. Yep. And I was like, oh, I can't get tickets. So I texted you, and you helped me out, which I appreciate.
And Cam made it happen. Shout out to that man. What you thinking? How was it?
Oh, I mean, it is a... You know, I mean, it's a full day experience. You know, if you're going to go, really set aside some time and plan on doing that.
Right.
It's a great experience. I mean, it gets heavy, obviously, at parts, you know?
Yeah, like, shit.
Because like you said, when you talked about it, it's like you take an elevator down, and now you're in 1400,
and
the slave trade is starting.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, you know, and you learn things about that we talked about. You know, I didn't realize what a impact sugar had on the slave trade and, like, how that was a big start of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Learned things about Rosa Parks, that she was not planning on doing, you know, the... not sitting at the back of the bus and like doing that type of protest until after Emmett Till got killed, and you know, just a lot of things, but it's a great, great trip. I mean, I had a great time being there. It was awesome. Yeah.
What's your lady think?
You know, one of the things that really like bothered her immediately, they have the Angola prison like cell
set up.
You know, it talks about the numbers of, you know, black people that are incarcerated.
That's New Orleans.
Yeah.
30 years is the minimum.
That's what see murder at.
Oh, yeah, it's fucked up. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Angola is motherfucker.
Like Guantanamo. It looks horrible.
Right, which was a former slave plantation that just essentially turned into exactly the same thing, but it's a prison.
Yeah.
You know, and you're seeing all the numbers of people that are incarcerated, and, you know, that's...
Right.
It's the best... If you have to make an argument for people that don't necessarily, you know, might be racist or don't agree with, you know, things that need to be done to correct, you know, systemic wrongs in the society. Like, you go and look and you see the history and you go, it's very hard to argue with, you know, the history that is taking place there. Right. So
they got the receipts.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it was great. I mean, I had a great time there.
Now, as a white guy, did you get any sidelong glances?
No, you know, and that's the other thing, too. I was, for the amount of people that were there, we were there at like 10 o'clock when it opened, but then as the day goes along, obviously a lot more people are in there. Uh-huh. Everybody was very cool. There was no, like, compared to even going to just like a regular public thing,
right.
Like, people were taking it seriously, and like, everybody was cool, you know.
It wasn't hilarious.
So.
What white activity did you do immediately after?
I watched a hockey game.
There you go. How about that?
You had to cleanse it.
It was like, it's enough.
Ethnic cleansing.
That was black. Oh, shit. Nah, that's what's up. I appreciate you going, man. I said it myself.
Thanks, thanks.
I said it like I built it. On behalf of the one black guy that I am, I appreciate you visiting the museum. That ass, though. Tell you folks. Anyway, man. So what's up, man? Talking
about... Man, they still killing black folks, man.
Oh,
speaking
shit.
Of the museum,
well, we gonna keep it heavy.
Keep
going. No, talk about it.
You know, they done shot a little 15-year-old in the head, man, just on some bullshit.
There's always some bullshit
out in Dallas and shit, you know. Yeah. But you know, it's interesting though that the chief of police, he kind of jumped out ahead of it before the, you know what I'm saying, the movement started heading to their town.
Ahead of it in what way?
Because, like, you know, originally the story was that, you know, the police was saying that the car was reversing aggressively down the street towards the police cruiser. That's why he shot.
Right, right, right. Chris, can we get his name? I think it's Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan,
Jordan Edwards.
Jordan Edwards. Jordan Edwards, yeah.
I'm saying, remember that.
Right.
And then so the chief of police came back.
Right.
The next day, which today is like, hey, well, listen, I think I've misspoken. And, you know, from what I seen in the video, you know, the car was not going backwards. It was going forwards. And this is not, you know, according to our type of policy. We don't really roll like this. So right. We're going to investigate this shit to the fullest. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he kind of, this is the first time I really seen a chief go against
the people,
the officers.
Right, 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 right. And damage control a little bit.
Yeah, damage control. And then really just saying, hey, this shit don't look right to me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't really know, but they usually, you know what I'm saying, stand behind their guys.
White chief?
It sound white. I didn't see his face. I just heard his voice.
Okay.
So I can't confirm nor deny.
Did they identify the officer yet or
not? They did not identify the officer. He said he wouldn't identify the officer. He presented all the shit to the grand jury, and they didn't release the video. Because, you know, he probably watched that video. Like, when this video get out, it's going to be fucked up.
Because yeah.
This motherfucker just used these kids as target practice.
Right. Like the Chicago video. Remember that shit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? He like, man, don't bring these riots to my town. We working on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I guess, you know, that's a change. You know what I'm saying? It's like the art piece with, in New York, they got this art piece that's going around that the artist is posting up in train stations and on buildings with Mike Brown on it. And it's a New York Times. It looked like a New York Times cover blown up to like 8 feet tall. And then, you know what I'm saying? But the headline is like, you know, a young man with promise. Like, you know what I'm saying? Something that the New York Times did not say.
Right.
About a Mike Brown. You know what I'm saying?
Kind of showing how the narrative is different.
Exactly.
It's interesting.
So it crossed out all the words of the article, but then, you know, just kept the positive words about Mike Brown. But in this case, you know what I'm saying?
I ain't seen that. Where's that? That's in the...
It's on the side of Sincerely Tommy now.
Really?
They just did it yesterday. They just put it up on the side.
On the side of the actual store? Or
on the side of the store. But it's been in the train station. It's been in a couple different places. I've been seeing it in Brooklyn.
You got to find out who the artist is. If y'all know the artist, tag them in the comments or
hold
hit
on.
Us on Twitter.
I could pull it up. I'll pull it up by the time we get off.
All right.
But in this particular case, it's almost like instead of reporting it how they usually report it, you know what I'm saying? They're reporting it in the way that artist presented it.
Right.
On that New York Times cover, because the kid was a good kid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the kid had a 3.5 average, and you know what I'm saying? Everybody loved him, and you know what I'm saying? You just killed the motherfucking innocent-ass kid.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't even matter.
Right.
Because you shouldn't be killing innocent motherfuckers. You shouldn't be killing guilty motherfuckers.
Especially if they ain't trying to kill you.
You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't even be killing guilty motherfuckers in America, because, you know, we got a justice system for that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but they used that shit. Because, well, he had felonies before. Da-da-da-da-da, you know, and then people feel like, well, you you should have killed him.
Right. Well, they try to fuck up the character of the victim to where now the victim, the dead victim, or the person that's been assaulted or whatever, has to defend their character when they were the victim.
And they already did.
If they dead. I mean, when they dead, it's even worse because then you can't, you know, you can't defend yourself when you're gone. That's that bullshit.
Yeah, so this particular story, you know what I'm saying, is different in the way that it's being projected. And I'm interested to see how that goes and how things, you know what I'm saying, go when the victim is not as clean
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it shouldn't matter.
Right. What's interesting, you saying that. I mean, this is fictional, but I've been watching this show, Shots Fired, on Fox with Mack Wilds, Sanaa Lathan, I forget the other guy's name. It's newer cat. Mm-hmm. But basically, it's about the story of a black cop shooting a white kid, killing him, right?
Right.
Then they find out later there was a cop that killed the black kid that nobody was talking about. And it kind of shows the dual narratives and how they try to bring them together. It's pretty interesting. I mean, just on a fictional bent. I mean, you know, shit, life is informing art. But it's worth checking out.
We got to talk about it. It's a hot topic. It's a whatever, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the fuck we just said earlier.
Yeah, hot take.
It's a hot motherfucking take. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I don't even think it's a hot take. I feel like it's just, shit, stop killing black people. That I don't think that's a, that shit, I could take that after some heavy thought. I had the same take. I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that is a, I don't think that should be that fucking provocative.
But it is.
That's a damn,
you know what I'm saying? It's a damn shame, but it is. Because it's been provocative since Emmett Till. It's been provocative before that. Dang. But, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, man. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? We fight.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Is that shit going to take over the summer?
I hope not. You know, I felt like we had a respite. I don't want to say, like, I mean,
yeah,
I felt,
you know,
like
they let the elections go down and get good. You know, they chilled out for a motherfucking minute.
Now it's going to
pick
up
summertime,
again.
Summertime. Shit. You know what I'm saying? They running the summer campaign. Who going to run the summer? You know what I'm saying?
Bringing this back. Bringing
the
hashtag back.
Bringing the protest back for the summer.
Ah, shit. Y'all be safe out there, man.
You know what I'm saying?
And y'all stop shooting motherfuckers out there, too.
Cops. Stop shooting each other, too.
Yeah, don't do that.
You know what I'm saying?
Put the guns away.
I'm going to protect my money, son. Niggas get shot every day, B.
Yeah, I mean, you get out the way of that sometimes. More often than, I mean, I would say more often than not.
It's alternative lifestyles, man.
Absolutely.
It's crazy.
That's something. It's something. I mean, yeah, I don't want to get all into that whole thing. But I was, no, I was thinking about guns just recently.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand why it's so hard for people not to give away their guns. Because have you ever been in a situation where you felt like everybody had guns but you? You know what I mean? And then have you ever been in a situation where you might have a gun or there's a gun around and there's that security of the gun? You know what I mean? Like, it's false security, maybe, but it's like the fact that you think you got a gun, you're in better shape than someone that doesn't.
Right. I mean, I tell you like this. I've been in a situation where I needed a gun and didn't have it, and
you feel crazy. Oh, well,
not
you
that I feel crazy, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh,
I got caught in a situation where I would carry my pistol every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying. This was at a younger age. You know what I'm saying. Just I wasn't in New York either. I was in Florida. I would carry my shit every day, and then I went home to Miami and I left it there because I was going right back in about a week. And then I got into a situation where, you know what I'm saying, I got into a situation where I even reached for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I knew where it should be.
Right.
And then it wasn't there.
Oof.
You know what I'm saying? And when you look back on it, it's like, I'm glad I wasn't.
For the
didn't.
Best.
I didn't. I'm glad I didn't have it.
Right.
I took a ass whooping.
Right.
But I didn't go to jail,
nah.
You know what I'm saying, for years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I had to drop on the motherfucker.
Right.
But I ain't had my shit.
Yeah.
For the first time, like, in years.
Yeah.
And, you know, shit, I'm glad I didn't because I'm right here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because that is, you know, when you, as you look at it, on the other side of that ass whipping, you know what I mean? Because it didn't come with no cost at all. It was an ass whip, but it gave you a lot of perspective.
Gave you a whole lot of perspective.
Because were you at that moment, you might have been ready to defend yourself, ready to let that gun go, but were you ready to have to deal with the fucking consequences that come with what would have happened?
No, you
when
ain't,
you think about the
you
whole
weren't,
shit.
You weren't thinking about the consequences of what may happen. You was thinking about, okay, this motherfucker up on me, let me get him up off me.
But I mean, like, even when you take it just even a bigger step back, a macro step back to what got that motherfucker up on you, it might have been some bullshit.
It was definitely some bullshit.
Right? Now imagine having to be in fucking jail.
It was definitely some bullshit.
Listening to a bizarro Mr. Muhammad on the podcast.
It was
freeing a motherfucker.
It was definitely some bullshit about some shit that, you know what I'm saying, some niggas I was with did. You know what I'm saying? Not even me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it would definitely be like, damn, I'm sitting up in this motherfucker because I'm the only nigga that they knew.
Right.
But it will, you know, I wasn't the one, you know what I'm saying, disrespecting the man.
Right.
So, anyway, when the man caught up with me, he had his people. I was solo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? First thing nigga asked me was, yeah, what's up with your people? Where your boys at now?
Yeah.
And I said, listen, man. That shit was then.
Right.
This shit is not, man. What's up?
Uh-huh. What we gonna do?
What I'm saying?
This is that. Did what you say that do? Before or after you reached?
This was after I reached, and I knew what it was.
It's like, all right, well, let's get to it. You know what I'm saying? Let's not prolong this.
I'm saying that was after, because at first, the first thing I did was, ooh, motherfucker.
Oh, wow.
Woo-hoo. You know? Shit. So, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, we here, and I'm here, and I'm saying, and I'm grown, and I got to be grown.
Right.
And I ain't dead, and I ain't spent motherfucking no however many years in prison and no shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, cheers to that.
Yeah. Cheers to that, man.
No.
I was trying to get about this heavy shit. We've been heavy for about 7 good minutes.
Man, why you counting these minutes, man? We in the conversation, man. Everybody, you know what I'm saying?
Like shit.
We ain't even rolling out, man. Shit.
What's good with you, man? What's good with me, man? Everything. I'm just working. I'm out here working, getting on stage with a lot of new stuff, you know, working out some new material, getting inspired to do something new, you know. I've been just taking in a whole lot of shit. I went to the Whitney again.
Mm-hmm.
They got the biennial over there. They got some fly shit in there, some good art.
Inspiration?
Yeah, it's always inspiration, you know what I mean? Just the whole shit. And there was some cool shit. There's this one photographer named Deanna Lawson from Chicago. I think she lives in Brooklyn now. She got some dope shit in there. I can't remember no more, but I remember that because that shit was dope. What else is going on, man?
I'm working, man. I'm trying to grow, man. So I've been on a little growth spurt.
What's that mean?
I mean, shit. I've been getting busy. You know what I'm saying? I've been getting bigger situations.
Right.
But then I also find, you know what I'm saying, that there's like a lot of growing pains associated with growing.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just like when, you know, you say you want to move up to the next level, like, you know what I'm saying, I'll be shooting digital content.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you want to shoot more, you want to shoot TV shit, you want to shoot ads, and you know what I'm saying, you want to shoot different shit because you feel like you can. You know what I'm saying? Feel like you got the talent, you could do it. But then, when you bring in the business, it's certain things that come with that shit that you don't foresee because you ain't never did the shit before. So like, say I shot an ad and shit and for TV, and it's a certain, you know, you map out the budget, you know what it's going to cost to shoot it and all that shit. But then when you get the TV, they want a different type of color. You know what I'm saying? They want a specific type of color. They want a specific type of audio. You know what I'm saying? You got to have a closed caption. You motherfucking, and then after all that, after you pay to do all that different shit, that's money on color, money on motherfucking closed caption, money on this audio to get it to the right space.
Mm-hmm.
Then they charge your ass to upload that shit to the TV network. Mm. So.
Oh, you mean if you just going independent, you doing your own shit?
Well, I'm doing a commercial for a company.
Right.
But I'm the production company.
Right.
So they expecting you to do all of that, you know what I'm saying, finish the product, and then upload the product to the network.
Oh, I didn't know that's how it worked. I thought you...
This is with commercials. This is with ads.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, usually an ad agency would do all the upload part, and usually, you know what I'm saying, a post-production house would do all that. I'm running my shit. I'm trying to get in the game.
Right.
I'm all...
So you got to start putting that in the budget.
Yeah, you got to start... Yeah, that wasn't in the budget. Now you know. Now I'm moving backwards. I'm paying to do the damn ad.
That was an expensive lesson.
Somebody said that shit was film school. That was your tuition.
There you go. That shit was...
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, damn. Like, you want that next shit. You get it. But then you got to understand
that certain shit come with that next shit. You know what I'm saying? Like every big step, like you might have 4 or 5 big projects and you like, yeah, shit, I'm rolling. And then you catch a couple of more and now your motherfucking pipeline clogged up and you can't motherfucking do all that shit, or you taking longer to do the shit than expected. And now you moving like you don't usually move and people like, yo, why it's taking so long? You know what I'm saying? And that shit don't feel good. And I have to figure a way how to manage my growth now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm at with it. I'm like, I have to figure out how to fucking put things in place in anticipation of the growth.
You know, pad that budget.
Because I know I'm going bigger now.
Right.
So I need to, I had a meeting today with another production company that's more into, they only do TV shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that when I'm out here pitching new shit, I know that I could take that overflow from what I can't do in my company and put it somewhere who can, that I know that's down to work with me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at, man. I'm trying to grow steady and motherfucking maintain that growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Cause if you could get all that shit you wish for,
mm-hmm.
and that shit will fuck your whole shit up if you're not ready or if you're not prepared for what come with all that shit.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm on. It's like, you know, just I'm watching how, you know, it's graduation weeks and shit. You know, fam, you graduated this weekend. And I'm seeing all the pictures. You know, a lot of people I grew up with, now their kids is graduating from college and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm watching all these graduations and watching these kids go out into the world. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, motherfucker, you got to be ready for this world, man. And even when you ain't, you know what I'm saying, you got to be ready for these headaches that you about to get running up against the wall.
Yeah, it's going to get real.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, as much as I could tell, it's like, you know, watch out for this, watch out for that. I've tried.
And the thing is, you don't know what to watch out for till sometimes you got to bump into the shit before you. That's how you got to learn.
Right.
You know?
But sometimes when that shit be, when that learning come too late, you know what I'm saying? It's some of this shit, man, because some of this shit you could have learned in school, but they ain't teaching it.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like say with advertising, marketing business and shit, you know what I'm saying? It's people go to school for advertising and marketing and they, you know what I'm saying, they feel like they could write and they feel like they could come up with the concepts and they know how to make shit move and they know people and what people want to buy. But then you go interview for this job and you don't really understand that the culture of the job itself is Northeastern, very white, you know what I'm saying? Very, we Cape Cod and it and Hamptons and it, you know what I'm saying? And it's more of a lifestyle shit and you don't understand that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying? You going in as your regular self. And they like, nah, that motherfucker might not fit because he don't understand the lifestyle.
Right.
Which ain't got shit to do with the job. So, you know, it's like a lot of times I was talking to a guy. We had a tour called Game Behind the Game with Boost Mobile.
Right.
And a guy from the ad agency was saying, you know, a lot of times I want to hire kids from HBCUs, but it's another part of me knowing that I can't because they're not socially ready. You know what I'm saying? Now, that was a problem for me to hear.
Right.
Because that shit ain't got nothing to do with the work. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, how do you get socially ready if you don't motherfucking get in there?
Right. I mean, I feel like that's just an excuse on a certain level.
It's an excuse, but it's real.
It's real, but it means that you're going to have to work with this person. It's like if you recruit a basketball player that's got raw talent, but then may not know the fundamentals of certain of the game, like a part of the game, you got to teach them that. If you get a dope artist and they might not know how to count bars and shit, you got to do some A&R.
But you know a motherfucking nigga in a company, you know he...
Nobody want to work that hard.
You know, not even that he don't want to work that hard, but you know that every move that motherfucker make, he feel like he had to explain to all these other motherfuckers. And he not going to take as big a risk, you know what I'm saying?
And that's the problem.
That is the problem. But again, if you take this information and you put it a step down into the school level,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Then you could prepare kids a little bit better if you know it exists.
And again,
I'm not explaining the way
right.
that it shouldn't exist.
Right.
I'm just saying, in real talk, it exists.
Absolutely.
So prepare for it. You know what I mean? So it's just like when I start selling ads and shit and start going to the agency, and you had the agency, and then the all of the reps that you fucking with, the media buyers and shit, they little young, little Jewish girls, and right. you know what I'm saying? They look, you know what I'm saying? They look like they got money, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They got, you know, they diamonds on, and they chilling. They already came from money. And you got to go in there and sell that shit. But I'm selling some urban shit, so they expect a urban nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they're more apt to understand what I'm talking about. But if I had to work with them, it might be a different story if I had to work in their environment. You know what I'm saying? But after doing it and after talking to them and after understanding, you know what I'm saying, Nantucket and the Hamptons and Cape Cod and motherfucking Martha's right. Vineyard and all that shit, after you understand it, it's easier to go in and be like, yeah, I understand. Hey, I'm going on.
You
had to be exposed to it. And I'm just saying that if you take more exposure into the programs that the kids are coming through, then, you know what I'm saying, the kids might have a better chance.
Right. I think I'm not blaming nobody, but it could be all over the place. It could be in the schools, and it could be when you get to the corporate level. Maybe that's part of your orientation, or maybe there's some type of internship. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
some immersive, like immerse yourself.
Immersion.
In this, you know what I mean? Like immersion. Right. And dead ass, because if you are a agency that deals with some sort of culture, whatever that culture may be, you should kind of, after a while, if you consider yourself an authority of that culture, you should kind of know what the tent poles of the culture is. And you should maybe even have like a little itinerary or a little immersion retreat that could give somebody a little bit of it. Obviously, it's not the same shit, but it's a Cliff Notes version of, right. So you understand why this means that. And then we might have some people coming in, and this is what it means to be raised like that, and blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like it's like when people want to sell to the urban community, and they're not from that. You know what I mean? They got to kind of take cues, and they asking questions. The thing is, you got to ask a whole lot of questions and risk looking uninformed. Right. And being able to wear that shit. Be like, yo, I don't really know this shit. Right. And hopefully somebody is gracious enough to be like, look, let me show you peep, you know, peep game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because you've been that person for somebody. I'm sure somebody's been that person for you.
I mean, shit, I was that motherfucker. Not even, I mean, I had to go to a place where I ain't know shit. You know what right. I'm saying? When I was in fucking St. Bart's, I ain't know shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Russell Simmons and all the niggas looking at me like, look at this nigga. He fresh out the boat.
But then, but
they weren't trying to help a nigga.
Yeah, because motherfuckers is on some bullshit. I don't know what the situation was with that. But let me ask you this. On a certain level, mm-hmm. two questions. On a certain level, there must have been something, even as uncomfortable as it is, must have been something a little thrilling about that. And then to think you'll never really feel that way again. You know what I mean? Every time you go back, you're a little bit right. more and more immersed in the culture, but you'll never feel like
right.
fish out of water motherfucker.
Right. But see, at the same token, I'm used to being in that type of environment
right.
where you have to learn, and I'm used to studying. So it wasn't as big of a deal as, you know what I'm saying, it could have been. Like,
right.
you know what I'm saying? I know at a certain point, you know, I came into the spot, and I didn't really know how the spot ran. Like,
right.
you know what I'm saying, how the seat and shit go.
Right.
Like, they kind of laughed at me and was like, nah, you can sit anywhere you want.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't feel no motherfucking kind of way.
Right.
Because, you know what I'm saying, I ain't supposed to know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I'm in this bitch.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go find my motherfucking seat, and I'm going to be good.
Yeah.
But I studied this shit. By the third day, I understood what was happening.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you had to repeatedly put yourself in these kind of positions
right.
and train yourself to study what's going on around
right.
you. You know what I'm saying? Study the culture that's going on around you. So when you're in a position, you know what I'm saying? It might not be right. It might not be fair. It might not be what you like. But you understand it, so you know how to move.
You know how to move. And then you start to understand the value of you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you are the constant in all these things. And it's kind of like, well, how do I navigate here where I don't compromise who I am? You right. know what I mean? Like, I, how do I play on this level? How do I play on that level? It shows right. you shit about yourself that maybe you didn't know, which is great, which is cool as fuck.
Right.
It was something I wanted to add on to that shit that we were just talking about.
Add it on, man.
I can't
nigga.
Remember,
add
though.
On,
I can't
my
remember,
nigga.
Man. That whole trade. Oh, I just random. We talk about internship. Yo, do you know Facebook interns make an average of $6,000 a month?
Wow.
As an intern. Shit.
I need to go get an internship.
Go ahead, Facebook interns. These motherfuckers is balling.
What Facebook at? Facebook just moved to Texas, didn't they?
I don't know. Probably. I know there's one in New York. There was one in New York.
Yeah.
It used to be a New York office, and I'm sure I think there's one in Silicon.
Think they was moving their headquarters to motherfucking Austin or some shit like that? Did they move?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that.
Interesting.
I thought I heard that shit.
That's interesting. South by Southwest.
Go to Texas. Get you some internship.
Don't get you. And no state tax. No city tax.
No state tax. But watch out for the police. They might shoot you.
Yeah, well, be careful. Yeah, especially in that Dallas area.
I know. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Wild, Wild West.
Damn.
Anyway.
Back to Heavy FM.
This.
Oh, shit, man. Yeah, but no, it's something to be said about that. And it is kind of cool when you think about just your own life, everything that's new. I think when you're new to some shit, it gives you the fresh eye perspective. Is kind of cool too, cause you know how it was the first time you witnessed some shit versus the 300th time. You know what I mean? It's like the motherfucker when they bring you to a studio the first time ever. You're like, man, there's a lot of weed smoke, a lot of drugs, beer, there's a lot of whole shit. Damn, this is. But then the 700th time you've been there, that's just the background. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like right. when you don't realize what was in the room till you read the story later.
Right.
To the writer was like, and then such and such. You're like, oh man, that was true. They were shooting heroin off to the side. I forgot. Yeah, that is old Harry and heroin.
Where you was at? Mm-hmm. With the Hot Boys?
I'm just taking creative license. I'm not indicting nobody.
With BG and them?
Hey, man. That's some crazy shit. That's intense. See a motherfucker about to do some heroin in front of you. I had to excuse myself.
You had to go ahead and leave, man. You know what?
Hey, hold on, we gonna talk about that invoice. Just stay right there. We're gonna talk about that motherfucker.
Way beating, too depressing.
Biting on the belt. Like, hold on now. What was your? Show me the invoice. Get the invoice on. Let me look at that.
This nigga just nod off.
And that's the deliberation phase. He looked at your one sheet and nodded off. You gotta wait 15 minutes to see if you got the sponsorship or not. Yeah, we gonna do it.
You know what? On second thought.
You sure? We're going to do it. You want to make sure we can do it?
Yeah, oh, man. But that's it, man. He could just been, you know what I'm saying, working on that growth, man. Trying to get to that next level. Summer going to be good, though. You know what I'm saying? We going out with Miller Lite.
Go for that shit,
you know what I'm saying?
Man.
So we got that shit. We in Chicago, Atlanta, Charlotte.
What y'all doing? Same? It's a flip? What y'all doing?
The Kickback series, which is, you know what I'm saying, which is like everyday people, the do-over. I forget what the third event is, you know what I'm saying? But it's like all summer.
Anything coming to New York?
Nah, everyday people is in New York, based in New York. Right. But these events are in Atlanta, Charlotte.
Chicago.
So, you know what I'm saying, we'll be frequenting those areas all summer. You know what I'm saying? So that's good. You know what I'm saying? Give a nigga some good shit to move around with this summer.
That's what's
up. You
know
what I'm saying? We gonna run this shit, man.
That's what it is, man. Well, shit.
You know what I'm saying? That's about that time.
I think it's about that time.
To
transform.
What? Yeah, roll out?
I feel like it's trying to transform and roll out.
No doubt.
Shit, where you gonna be at?
Shit, I'm gonna be in Brooklyn, man. I'm gonna be, you know, on the ground at Mr. Muhammad. You know what I'm saying? On the Twitter at Mr. Muhammad. You know what I'm saying? We'll be picking up kids, you know what I'm saying? Knocking out projects. And we shooting some short films and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to shoot some shit with Haitian V.
Okay.
And, you know, Vlad Calix, you know what I'm saying? Kind of a mix of both. I got another actress, Sagan Genesis, who we shooting a short film with right now.
Okay.
So we got to finish that this week. And shit, that's what was shit. We popping.
That's what it is. Some shit. I'm gonna be at the good old Stand Up New York on Thursday night. I'm on the 8 o'clock show and the 10 o'clock show. Y'all can fuck with me there. Where else am I at? Do I have any other shows going on? I think I'm at the Stand over the weekend. But beyond all that, I'll be right here on this mic next Wednesday. So until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yes, sir.
We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.